and now evangelist David Shannon.
If you will open your Bibles to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, beginning at verse 11. For the bodies of those beasts, speaking of the beasts that have been offered as sacrifices, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are buried without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the camp. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The Hebrew writer, of whom we're unsure exactly who it is, some believe that it very well could be Paul, some believe that perhaps it's Barnabas, and then others of us just really don't know who it is. But nevertheless, it was a man inspired by the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit to give us a letter to be placed in the Word of God. Here he gives us a very powerful message, brethren. He says, quite frankly, let me go back to what you're common with, what you know about. And what did those people know about? They knew about the old law. You see, their problem was they could not turn loose of the old law and hold on to the new law. So he says, let me begin in verse 11 by telling you about the old law. You remember it. He says, you remember how the beast would be taken? The blood would be taken by the high priest into the sanctuary. And after that, when we go back to Leviticus, the 16th chapter, we see the details. The details are that on the Day of Atonement, the special feast days, the special days of sacrifice. On those special days of sacrifice, only the blood would be taken in by the high priest and offered to the Lord. And after that, one was chosen to take the body of the animal. Usually it was a bull and a goat. And they would take, that one would take that animal outside of the camp. Now notice this. This is very important to our lesson this morning. Outside of the camp, and Leviticus tells us that they would burn it in the hide, skin and all. All of the beast would be burned. The person then would bathe himself. He would change his clothes and he would go back into the camp. Now the Hebrew writer says, notice verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered where? Without the gate. You remember where Jesus hung on the cross, don't you? It was without, or we would say today, outside of the gate. Brethren, my plea to you this morning is the very same plea that the Hebrew writer wrote about. That plea is in verse 13. Let us go forth therefore into him without the camp. Brethren, it's quite simple. If the camp is here and Jesus Christ is outside of the camp, go to Jesus. What does that mean? That means you'll have to leave the camp. But go to Jesus. And my plea is the same as the Hebrew writer. Every one of us here this morning, leave the camp and go to Jesus, because that is where salvation is found. That's where the sins are remissed by the blood that was given, the price that was paid. Well, how do we do it? He states it very clearly. Notice there, we just read verse 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Well, verse 12 told us how he left the camp. It says, suffered without the gate. We're to bear his reproach. What was his reproach? Jesus Christ's reproach was that he was suffered. He paid an awesome price. And we are to go outside of the camp bearing that same shame. that same suffering. You see, the truth is, we will have some discomforts. We will have some inconveniences. We will have some pain that must be borne if we are to be a Christian. You know, Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." What he's saying, I'm crucified. There's pain. There's giving up some of self, all of self, to become a child of God. We also read in 1 Peter 2:21 that just as Jesus Christ suffered for us, leaving an example that we too should follow in His steps. What is it? Saying the example's there. He suffered. Well, where is He? He's out of the camp. What are we to do? We're to follow in His steps. That's exactly what this verse is saying. Leave the camp, bear the shame, and go to Jesus Christ. We read also in Matthew the 16th chapter and verse 24, "If any man will come after me," Jesus said, "let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." What's that to say? That there is some pain involved. There is denying self involved. There is a cross that must be borne. Brethren, remember, we've mentioned before, the cross in that day and time was not the symbol of a religious place. The cross was the symbol of death. He says, deny yourself. Take up that death penalty and bear it for the name of Christ. Brethren, this morning, are we willing to go out of the camp and to be with Jesus? It takes suffering. Can we endure it when we're mistreated? You know, many times when we're mistreated, the human side of us says, strike back. Jesus Christ says, bear the pain. Many times we say, well, you know, I'd like to do some of the work for the Lord. I'd like to be a faithful Christian, but I just don't have the time. There's inconveniences. I can't say enough for the men that gather, and some women, but usually it's men that gather on Sunday morning at our 6 o'clock service. What are they doing? They're bearing the inconvenience. It's not convenient for those men that have to work 12 hours a day on Sunday to come in and have a worship service. It's not convenient, but they love the Lord and they're willing to step out of the camp every Sunday morning and go in and to be with Jesus Christ, bearing some kind or some form of inconvenience or discomfort. You see, brethren, what we need to make sure that is active in our life is Christ first, not comfort first. You see, we live in a society that says all should be comfortable. Have you ever noticed that hotel that's called Comfort Inn? Been on the road a lot last few days. See those? Comfort Inns. Can you imagine how much business it would do if it was named Discomfort Inn? We promise that we'll give you a hard time if you come with your reservation. We promise that some of our rooms don't even have a bed. We promise that some places don't even have running water. We promise that you'll have to put your own sheets on your bed. I wouldn't stay there. No, of course you wouldn't stay there. Why? We live in a society that says comfort. Comfort is where it is. And Jesus Christ came to this earth and He said, leave the camp and move into some forms of shame, some forms of pain. Why? Just to suffer? No, not just to suffer. But if it means to suffer for the name of Jesus, suffer. Another point that He makes, this very strong point. Notice also verse 14. For here. Now where is the here? The verse prior to this verse said, we're going out into the camp with Jesus. So now we're out of the camp to be with Jesus. And now that we're with Jesus, verse 14, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one that is to come. Now, what is a continuing city? He says, out in this, outside of the camp is no continuing city. Inside the camp, there is what is believed to be. Now, notice that emphasis. There is what is believed to be a continuing city. The Jews believed that Jerusalem was part of their religion. To them, Jerusalem was the continuing city. To them, that was still the holy place. And all of the tradition, all of the old doctrine was still very much a part of their life, even though they were to be living under the new law. They were holding on to the old law. They were holding on to Jerusalem being their continuing city. Now notice this. He says, if you're with Jesus, that continuing city doesn't continue. Well, what are you waiting on? He says, we're waiting for the one that's to come. We're waiting for the eternal home. Now, brethren, I hope you'll look real closely at those verses this week. And I hope you'll give some serious consideration to what the teaching is right in text. The teaching is any time we make tradition, any time we make another law other than God's Word active in our life and standing above and beyond the laws that God has given us under the new covenant, we have built what we believe is a continuing city. And brethren, it just doesn't stand. Give me proof in history. Jews thought they had a continuing city. The Hebrew writer wrote to them and said, it's not a continuing city, and within just a matter of a few years, Jerusalem was destroyed. Brother, nothing on this earth is permanent. And when we start thinking that our traditions should be permanent, and that those traditions should go beyond the Word of God, we've built for ourselves a city that will destroy us and that imaginary city as well. We must step out of the camp, out of the city of tradition, and be with Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, does it really happen in the church? You bet it happens. I am afraid that it happens very frequently, and we're not even aware of it. You've heard me tell before of my grandparents, and some of you probably have seen it happen, where years ago when they covered the Lord's Supper table with a white cloth to keep the flies off because the windows would be open in the summertime, air conditioners were installed, they closed the windows, and someone said, well, now let's take the white cloth off of the top of the Lord's Supper table. There's no need for it now. And there literally have been congregations that split because there were those members that said, you can't do away with the tablecloth. Brethren, what is that? That's someone that has built a traditional city. And that city is much higher than the Word of God. What is God's law? God's law is that you stand united on what He has said, not on other things you've made up. Brethren, at times people have struggled with great difficulty to leave the city of tradition, to stand out of the camp with Jesus Christ. Does it happen here in Gadsden? I would say yes. I believe that there are probably some that don't go to the area-wide services. You know, you can add up the number of people that should be there from each congregation. We have area-wide services twice a year, and the number just doesn't tally up. Usually there's a few less than what every other congregation combined would have on Sunday night. Why? For some reason, there's those that have thought that their auditorium is sacred. Brethren, look around you. We're looking at wood, glass, fabric, carpet. We're not looking at anything sacred. God says the tabernacle is the soul. That's what's sacred. And if our elders chose for us to meet over in my garage tonight, that's where we should be. If we said we're going to meet under trees tonight, that's where we should be. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, come out of the camp and meet with me. And we must stop believing that so much of the tradition is law. I'm for tradition. Tradition is good. What if we didn't have a set time to meet on Sunday? It'd be terrible. Everyone would show up at different times. It's good to have a traditional time to meet. It's good to have a traditional place to meet. These things are good, but the point is when we allow the tradition to say, we're not meeting in my holy auditorium tonight, so I'm not going to church. Brethren, that is when we've built for ourselves a city of tradition, and we're not with Jesus Christ. Not at all. I talked to a young couple a couple of years ago. And the congregation that we attended there, it was up on Long Island, and as you can imagine, things are different in various parts of the country. Somewhat a young congregation, so there's some of the older traditions had not yet infiltrated into that congregation. And one thing that congregation did that I thought was very good. I'm not trying to promote it. I simply thought it was good. Because while the bread was being passed, usually the song leader would sing a song. Now, if everyone would join in, there'd be a song sung about the body of Christ. Then as the fruit of the vine was being passed, there'd be a song sung about the blood. I had a young couple to visit from the south. They wanted to move there. They wanted 10 services there. And they gave one reason why they could not worship with that congregation. Why is that? Because you sung when it's being passed. Said, you can't do that. Brethren, have we become so steeped in our tradition that we're not willing to step out of the city of tradition that we've built and stand with Jesus Christ and do exactly what He said? Jesus, what did You say? Worship Me in spirit and in truth. I'm not trying to promote any change in this congregation this morning. I'm simply trying to say that if we're doing things simply because that's the way it's always been done, and we think that it couldn't be done any other way, we've built ourselves a city, and we're living in it. And if tradition is why we're doing it, we're not standing with Jesus Christ, because He's left the town of tradition. And He went out and He was hung on the cross outside of the gate. Think what Jerusalem would have been made into if someone would have taken Jesus and hung Him on the cross in downtown Jerusalem. Think of what they would have made of that town. No, He went out of the town. He left the convenience of tradition. And He hung, He bore the sins of the world. This morning, I urge us to do the same. To sing, not because it is tradition to sing. Sing in spirit and in truth. To study God's Word, not because it's tradition to study God's Word, but search God's Word for the truth that it contains. Pray to God as we're led in prayer in our worship services, not because it's tradition to just bow your head and to be silent during that prayer, but be praying to God as you are led in prayer in spirit and in truth. Brethren, all we do should be in spirit and in truth. And if it just so happens the way we do it is a traditional way, good, great. Let's do it more. But let's make sure the reason we do it, the motivation is not tradition. The motivation is spirit and in truth.
Notice the third thing he says about leaving the camp. We just looked at 14, verse 15 says, speaking of Jesus, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." So he says, since you've left that city, and since you're standing with Jesus, offer a sacrifice. Now, I'm sure the Hebrew people were thinking, well, what kind of sacrifice would that be? They're still thinking about the animals. And he says, a sacrifice of praise, but it's not animals. He says, it's the fruit of your lips. Don't go out to your pastures and find the fruit of your pastures. Don't go to your gardens and find the fruit of your gardens. He says, you take yourself out there and you find the fruit of your lips. What's that to say? Give God the glory for all that He's done. I used to work with a lady, and I'm so thankful I did. She wouldn't let you give credit to the word luck. She said, you're a Christian. Don't give luck credit for what God does. I think in a sense, that's what the Hebrew writer's saying. If you're going to stand with Jesus Christ, you give Him the praise for the things that is in your life that's good. Brethren, take the emphasis off of self a little bit. And let us all put the emphasis on God, the glory of God. All of the great things He's done, He's created us. He's given us a beautiful congregation to be a part of. He's given us a way to have remission of sins. And let's not talk about all the good things we do. Let's talk about the things that are done for the glory of God. Let's not talk about how good you are to each other. Let's talk about how good the congregation is for the glory of God. Let's not talk about how many souls need to be reached so we can grow. Let's talk about how many souls need to be reached so the church can be magnified. Brethren, there's so much that we need to do. And at the same time, everything that needs to be done, the glory should go to God, no matter how hard we work. And let us never get caught up into saying, we're lucky. We're not lucky. We're blessed. God has blessed us. Notice the final thing that we'll bring out this morning. He says also in verse 16, we're still standing at the cross, and he says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. So you see, the Hebrew writer is still going back to what they're common with, and that is the sacrifices. He says, I want you to offer sacrifices of praise. He says, now I want you to be ready to offer up sacrifices of doing good. You know, Romans, the 12th chapter and verse 1 tells us that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul, writing to the Romans, says it is only reasonable that if you're going to stand at the cross of Christ and if you're going to leave the camp, that you offer sacrifices to Him. What should it be? A living sacrifice. Why? That's what we are. We're alive. We don't go to the cross and kill ourselves like we would in Old Testament times, a beast. And burn that beast. That's not the type of sacrifice. He said you give your body a living sacrifice. How? The Hebrew writer says by doing good. Brethren, we know what's good. And we know what's not. We simply need to do good. He says also to communicate it. Now when the King James Version was translated, the word communicate in English at that time literally meant to give or to share. Now that's the way we use it today.
except we usually use it according to verbal giving or verbal sharing. You see, if you and I sit down and have a conversation and you tell me a story, you are communicating to me. But also the same as you're giving me messages. You're sharing with me information. So the word communicate literally means to give or to share. So in this verse here, when he says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, he says, don't forget to share. Don't forget to give. Brethren, it's so important that we realize that what we have on this earth is not ours. What we have, God has shared with us. And we, in turn, should take and share a portion of that with others. Share a portion of that with God. Our life should be a life of giving, of sharing. Because quite simply, it's God's. And that's what He says to. This morning, we're about to sing the song about the blood of Christ. If you will, open up your song book to 376. If it's been marked, 376. As we sing this song in just a moment, I want you to notice nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Notice all the first lines. What can make me whole again? For my pardon, this I see. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing can for sin atone. That goes back to the Day of Atonement we talked about in the Old Testament. And now Christ is our Day of Atonement now. He's our one-time atonement. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Brethren, there's only one way to have the blood of Jesus. And that is to leave the camp and to go out and meet Jesus outside of the camp. His law says that a part of that is, of course, hearing His commands, believing Him, repenting or turning away from the sins. That's why it's a going out. It's leaving the sins of the camp and going out. The doorway there between the going out and the entering into Jesus, the doorway is baptism, because baptism is what takes away sins. The blood of Jesus washes away sins. That is why His blood was the atonement for sin. And then it's living faithful with Him. Not leaving Him and going back to the camp. This morning, if you need to come to Him, or somewhere along the way you've fallen away from Him, now's the time to come back to Him. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand, as we sing.